Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are closing out a series with this episode. I'm joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose Abaroa. Jose,
hey,
welcome
Taylor.
Back to the podcast.
Good morning.
And we're joined by worship pastor Joel Hernandez. Joel, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Always happy to be here.
Always good to have you. All right, Jose, we have been in a series, a great series, on Ask Jesus, looking at questions that people ask Jesus. And it's a little bittersweet because we are closing out the series this morning. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts, as I have asked you every week leading up to the Sunday. What did God teach you as you prepared for the message? And then even why you chose this particular question?
So fun fact, story, behind the scenes, this is the message that I had planned to preach when the overseers shared their story. We thought that we would have enough time, which we were incorrect
about. That's right.
So we ran out of time, and I think I gave a word of exhortation, and then we closed out the gathering. It's been mulling around in my mind, and I really like that it ended up being the last one for a couple of reasons. One, I'm personally preparing to be in a season where I want to be more like Mary. I want to receive from Jesus. I'm not going to be doing for him in ministry, but in general, this is going to be a challenge for me to be more like Mary. We'll get into that, I know. But the second is that I think it's really great. In Luke 10, there's all these things that are happening. So Jesus sends out the 72. He's giving a really important teaching. He's telling us to love our neighbor, who's the Samaritan. And then he closes out the chapter with this story and really this dichotomy between Mary, who's just sitting at the Lord's feet and receiving from him, abiding in him, being with him, and then Martha, who's distracted, troubled, anxious, very busy. And I feel like it's so important for us to really receive this message that God just wants us to be with him, mm-hmm. and he wants us to receive from him first. And so cool that we close out on this one.
Right. And the question itself was, Lord, do you not care?
Right.
She goes on to say that my sister left me to serve alone. Tell her to then help me. Joel, I'd love to ask you, this is one of the questions of several we looked at. Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? Why does Jesus call sinners? What is the greatest commandment? Who is the greatest? And is it lawful to pay taxes? That was our episode last week. So I'd love to hear your thoughts just as a series as a whole, kind of what God has taught you and what you've just seen God do in the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the series. I think we live in a culture that is trying to disciple us as a culture, right? So we can be discipled by social media, by the things that we're watching on TV. And so it's so important that we continually go to the source that is Jesus to be able to ask the most important questions. And I think of being a new dad, Hadley's 16 months now, and like, man, we try our best to like point her always to truth, to point her to the Lord, even at this young age. And I think it's just so important for us as a culture to be able to do that and ask the Lord all these important questions.
And so, it's very practical, as you mentioned. Yeah, it's great to kind of walk through these and hear Jesus' response here. So this week, looking at this question, Jose, the first kind of challenge question that you asked us with is, what are you doing? I feel like, did a great job expounding on the difference between being and doing, that we are human beings, not human doing, something I have to continually remind myself of, and something that I know you have encouraged us, even as a staff, that are doing a lot of things for Jesus and just really encouraging us to remember the heart behind it. When someone's maybe trying to answer this question for themselves, they might be driving right now or just listening at home, what are you doing? What would maybe be some things that you could help them think of that are some of the ways they can answer this question?
Yeah, I think that we are prone to do, and it's important to do. I think about Genesis 1 when we get, or Genesis 2 when we get the mandate, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth, mm-hmm. rule over the creatures of the sea and the land and cultivate, bear fruit, literally on the land, and then obviously build families, populate. So we are called to do. You know, that's what we're here on earth to do. We're here to create because we're made in the image of the Creator. So it's an important reality. However, it can sometimes distract us. It can sometimes keep us from our Creator. Our doing can separate us from. So the things that we're doing, are they things that we've been asked to do by God, or are they things that we are simply just doing because everybody else is doing them, or mm-hmm. we think we need to be doing them? There's really two sides to this. I don't know which way you may want to go in the podcast, Taylor. You're such a great question asker, so I'm excited to see where you go. There's on one side the what are we doing in general? And then there's another, if you are in the church and you are serving a lot, that's a different, we can define our relationship with God sometimes by our religious behavior, what we are doing for him. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to first be with him and then do out of that being with him, because we can, again, Martha here is preparing literally for Jesus. Mm-hmm. She is doing all these wonderful things for Jesus, and yet she misses the good portion, which is what Mary is doing. So mm-hmm. again, two things. One is there are maybe some things that we are doing or are not doing, like, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing something that's good. This is biblical content. This is for the purpose of encouragement, helping us on our faith. And also we can be doing all these things for God that may be distracting us from just being right with him.
Right. Yeah. Well, honestly, I think either of those two routes lead a lot of times to this point here where Jesus says to Martha in Luke 10:41, where he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And so I think about people listening, myself included, there are times where I feel anxious and troubled about many things. And so I could have gotten there by different ways or different mindsets, but I'm there feeling that nonetheless. And so how would y'all encourage someone that's feeling that right now, that they hear the message on Sunday and they're like, okay, I want to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. I want to be with Jesus, but there's so many excuses. There's, you know, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know the boss that I have. You don't know the homework that I have. You don't know the pressure I feel and at family dynamics. You know, there's so many things that can kind of just feel like they're closing in on us. And so how do y'all navigate times where you are feeling anxious and troubled about many things?
Yeah, I think for me, I just have to slow way down. Mm-hmm. Ironically, whenever I start feeling like that, like I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling troubled, it sometimes feels easier to like, well, let me just write my list out and I can get all these things done. And it's ironic, right? Because it's like, wait, if I just slow down, and again, to the point of what we're talking about here in Luke 10, and just slow down and be with Jesus like Mary, that's where the answers come from. That's where the source of peace comes from, not in all of the doing. And so for me, it just looks like slowing way down and really trying to, even if it's 30 seconds, because I do have a deadline or I do have to get things done. But hey, Lord, right now I'm going to take 30 seconds and I'm just going to sit. I'm not going to stress and be with you. So that's what it looks like for me.
That's really good. Yeah. It's what Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And then it goes on to say that he will be exalted. So bottom line, no matter what we do, God's going to do what he does with or without us. Mystery. This was our first question in the series. He wants to use us as part of his plan. So that's really encouraging. But being aware of his presence and his power, we then must be still and slow down and not. And so it may look like a breath, deep breath. Mm-hmm. It could look like a walk. It could look like, I know for me, Joe, I don't know if you do this. If I'm at home and no one's home, if the kids are there, then I may still do it, but I'm not able to do it as long. I sit down at the piano and then I just play for a while because I'm able to just recenter back with the Lord and ask him, where are you today? Where are you? Because he is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. He isn't in our anxiety. Quite the contrary. We can cast our anxieties onto him because he cares for us and he gives us his peace. So yeah, how do you?
Well, I was going to say slowing down and stillness sounds great in theory and sounds great from a Sunday morning, but it can also be terrifying, or maybe I'm the only one. But I know for me, there's times where I don't want to stop and be faced with the feelings that I have or the thoughts that I have. So how have y'all navigated that where, and maybe this is not y'all, but I'm just thinking of someone that is in a place where they are worried about being still. There's a reason why they're busy. There's a reason why they're trying to cloud their mind with distractions because they don't want to face
That's right.
the very root that they're dealing with.
Well, it takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to face how we're really doing, why we're doing the things that we're doing, what's motivating us, what's at the root of those things. And thankfully, I believe that as Christians, we have the best answer in the whole world. And that is that it's the power of hope and redemption that we're looking for. The healing that we need is not found in our own strength. It's not found in a self-help book. It's not uh, found in finding our true self. It's found in seeking Jesus and watching him do a work in us that we can't do for ourselves. So that's the good news, is that Jesus is able to meet us in those deep places, and he's wanting us to be still. If I'm in that room and I see Martha and Mary, I see Martha as someone that may have an insecure attachment with Jesus, that is thinking that Jesus wants her to perform and do for him in order to be loved. That's why I share that story to begin with. I've struggled with that my whole life, where I've tried to earn my way to God. I've tried to prove my way to others and gain others, you know, well done, attaboy. And in Jesus, I have come to find he gives that to me freely every day. The question is, am I willing to receive it?
Yeah.
And it means dying to myself. It means taking up his cross and being a disciple of Jesus every day. Mary has a secure attachment. She knows she can boldly go to the throne and sit under the master's teaching and just delight in that. And that's the end. That's the finish line. So I want to be more like Mary.
That's really good, Jose. Taylor, I think it's hard because when we are going through those things, we don't want to address it. We don't want to talk about it, all those things. I'm trying to think of the first time that I went through something like that. I can't really think of it at all. All I can describe it as, it's just God's kindness and his grace that let us process through those things. But now, as I sit here, having gone through those exact experiences, I can look back and say, man, God faithfully brought me through all of those things. And that's how I now go through that stuff, is I can look back and say, man, the Lord brought me through some hardships. He brought me through some difficulties. And so now I can trust you, Lord, that you are good.
That's right.
You do have good things for me. You will see me through to the other side. So
yeah, I think even two things I'll just add. I'm a big fan of practical things, and God really, to your point, the kindness of God helps me remember these two things at times. One is, I think I've shared this before, channeling our inner toddler when we ask why. Like, you know, the toddler that's like, why? Well, why? Every answer is just followed up by a why.
Yeah.
And so going through that exercise with me really helps when I'm feeling anxious and troubled about many things, because I ask myself, well, why? Well, if this project doesn't work out, then it's going to be a failure. Well, why am I worried about being a failure? Well, I'm going to disappoint people around me. Well, why are you worried about disappointing people around you? Well, because then they want to be with me and then I'll be all alone. And it's like, wait a minute. And so just being able to trace down, just simply asking myself why, and to y'all's point, just even zooming out and seeing the bigger picture, reminding myself of truth in those moments of, well, is that how God sees me? Or is that what God says about me? Or am I able to come to his feet knowing that I'm secure in my identity in Christ? And so I think that's big. And then the only other thing personally, I just think about with y'all two being here, but I'm so grateful for close friends that are also able to enter in those times where they may even notice that I'm avoiding topics or things that, you know, I don't want to talk about it myself, let alone with somebody else.
We got a shovel too, so we can start digging for you.
That's right.
And say, hey, what's underneath that?
Right. Yeah. But seriously, like, friends that come alongside me and pray for me and then follow up is huge for me. It's like just following up and asking, hey, how are you doing with this? And sometimes I have done such a good job of forgetting about it or distracting myself from it that it's a question of a friend that all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, that's still there. I haven't thought about that, or you're right. And so I think that's even just something too, going to community group, going to close friends, and even trusted counselors that are able to come alongside in those seasons where it's like, I don't want to talk about this. This is, you know, off limits. And thankfully God does not honor those restrictions that we have for him. He wants to be all in, and he wants to be with us.
It's really good.
The part here about the Mary and Martha tension, and y'all just addressed this, but there are so many people listening and so many people in our church that do a great job of doing for God. They have servant's heart. They want to be all in. They're not getting paid, but they just want to be all in on what God is doing. What are some guardrails or warning signs that you would recommend for people that they're doing good things? So they're serving their church, they're serving people in their community group, they're bringing meals to friends. Even in that, how are ways that they can be careful to avoid becoming like a Martha?
Yeah. So firsthand experience here. I mean, we do a lot for God. It is something that we are able to get paid for, and that is a huge gift. And a very important part of that is that's our mode of operation now, but it wasn't when it began. I mean, we did so much early on where we did serve. And it's ironic now that when you do it more, and especially when you're in a vocation position, you have to have those guardrails even higher, because I do think back of the times where there was no place I'd rather be mm-hmm. than at church, than serving in a ministry context, than helping a pastor with this or that. I mean, I loved it. It was overflowing, and I think that's the key. If you are not overflowing, mm-hmm. then your output is greater than your input. You're giving out more than what is coming in. And that's what Mary is doing. She's refueling, she's recharging, yeah. she's at the source, she's getting her soul filled so that she can pour out. And Martha's on the other side. She's probably at a point where her output is, you know, so much so that she is pointing fingers. She's saying, can you tell her? She's being bossy. You know, can you tell her to come help me? And so if I start entering into that thought space where, okay, I'm there's some bitterness growing mm-hmm. here. Maybe there's some competition or comparing where I think that I'm doing more than other people. I'm focusing on what I am doing versus what God has done for me. Those subtle when those subtle things creep up, I think those are warning signs that we need to go back to the source. We need to receive from Jesus so that we can give out of that place and overflow.
Yeah, I had a similar thought. My thought was thinking of just, we've got to continually check our motivation as to why we're doing things. And if we're not going back to Jesus and refueling, to your point, Jose, then that's when that stuff starts to creep in. Like, I've noticed that in my life. Hey, I noticed this about this person or that, and judgment and comparison and all those things come in, which is not of God, not how we want to be serving. And so checking our motivation and then continually checking in with the Lord to make sure, all right, God, I'm doing this with you, for your glory, for your kingdom, not for my own.
Another important one, and we've talked about this a lot, we got to make, and this is a Pete Scazzaro principle, make sure that our outer life does mm-hmm. not exceed our inner life. So we have to lead with our inner life. That is our time with Jesus, how we're serving other people when no one's watching. And for us, we're on stage yeah. every Sunday. It's so important to cultivate that inner life because that will leak. And there are seasons where you need to back off on the outer life to grow the inner life. And I am so grateful for this season that's coming up. And that's the part that's going to be important for me to really zero in, is to really grow that inner life yeah. and make sure that stays in balance. Because once it goes out of balance again, God is so kind, like you were saying earlier, Joel, that he has a wonderful job keeping us accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. No, that's so good. Throughout this series, each of the questions that we've looked at, I feel like one of the common themes I've noticed in Jesus' answers is trying to call up the disciples to think bigger than they were thinking. Whether it's the disciples, whether it's the person asking Jesus, he's always trying to shift them into an eternal mindset to be thinking about seeing things the way that Jesus sees things. How do y'all think that this answer and kind of this topic is so important as far as how we view eternity, how we view our relationship with God when it comes to serving?
Well, that's a big question. I think, okay, this comes to mind when we think about Genesis and we are called to do, we're called to build, we're called to rule, we're called to produce, we're called to move the, I mean, it is important to do all of those things. To me, it's ironic here that God is saying, I do want you to do, but what's more important is I want you to be. Follow me here. See if this makes any sense. Because when we receive from heaven, when we receive that divine source of inspiration, power, when we mm-hmm. take it personally, then we're actually able to be more effective in our doing mm-hmm. because it's more of him and less of us. This is what John the Baptist said. I must decrease so that mm-hmm. he must increase. So it's really this sense of God wants us to be productive and effective and do all these wonderful things. He just wants his glory to come from that. And so I think this is Jesus saying, I got what you need, so receive it, and then watch me bless and use you in a way that you never thought possible.
That's really good. I think of the benediction. We read the Lord's Prayer, and yes, it says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so what Jesus is saying is he wants to be with us while we're here on this earth. And then our ultimate goal is to go and be with him in heaven. And so that's how that plays out for me in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. And just the words, I mean, to that point, the words of Jesus throughout the Gospels, I think about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great indicator of, are you doing it off his strength and or his yoke or yours? Because there's a lot of times where doing great things for God do not feel light and easy and instead feel heavy and stressful and frustrating. And so, yes, there are going to be hard things that God calls us into, but by being able to lean on his strength is so key. I'd be remiss to ask just practically, as we look at kind of one of the last questions, Jose, that you had as far as how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And would love to just kind of spend a little bit of time here towards the end, just thinking about practical, maybe even a follow-up or more practical question. How can someone answer that question well when it comes to this whole idea of being with Jesus, being at the feet of Jesus versus feeling like they have to earn God's love? How can they answer that as far as just how are we doing? How are you doing?
Yeah, I think it has to do with what we were talking about earlier, having the courage and the discipline to be still and really start digging into, okay, I'm doing these things. Why am I doing that? To your point, asking the question why, and then digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And it may uncover some place of woundedness in us, maybe a selfish, sinful root that is causing some of these symptoms that we're feeling, and then taking them to the cross. Because again, the other beautiful thing is he's asking us to be still and acknowledge all that he did for us on the cross. So our faith is one where we're just looking. I mean, it's the only faith that says that Jesus came down, that God became man and did something for us so that we can go back to him. Every other faith, religious tradition says there's a mountain. Divinity is up on that mountain. Enlightenment is up on that mountain. You got to work your way up. And so it is super important for us to, as we ask the question, how are we doing, you know, what is going on inside, that we don't forget what Jesus did for us on the cross and how he paid the price for sin in full. And that's where the power is.
Really, really good. How are you doing, Jose? I think this is the point of what you're trying to do on Sunday morning, where you asked the two questions. So when I think of how I'm doing, I think of, well, what am I doing? Because that kind of informs how I'm doing. And so I think of the scripture in Psalms where David's talking and he says, Lord, search my heart. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the question that we have to ask the Lord and let him, you know, lead us and show us the things that maybe are stressing us out, the things that we're carrying that we shouldn't be carrying, and all those types of things, to know exactly how we're doing, and trusting that God's got us taken care of, that he really, really does care and just wants us to be with him.
Yeah, no, we've something, this is very random, but it just came to mind as you were sharing that, Joel. But we talk about just within community wanting to be in depth and go into deep relationships with one another and answering these questions. I think about how many times either I've been asked, how are you doing? Or I asked somebody else that. But I think we can only answer to the depth that we go there with God first. And we really search that. And to your point, asking God to search our hearts and know that. Because if we have a shallow answer to that with God, we're going to also have a shallow answer with that with others.
Or we're going to try to find our fix in other people's care versus allowing God to meet those. And it's convicting, because in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your kids, your great friends, I mean, those are great gifts, but we only have one Savior.
Yeah.
And our hope is only found in one person. So to your point, I love that you mentioned that, because asking Jesus first, you know, or asking your question, how am I doing, and allowing Jesus to care for you is super important before we ask that for other people.
Well, what a way to close out the series. I love how God worked it out to be this message, to be your last message, Jose, before you go out on a 10-week sabbatical, that I am really excited that you get a chance to do this. And I think you have championed this scripture and this passage so well as the anthem for our staff and just in your relationships. And so we're going to miss you, but very excited for what God has in store this summer.
Going to miss you guys too. Also excited, and see you in August.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.